On a sunny May morning in Jacksonville, Florida, a camera shoots the image of a bloody white sheet lying on the grass. Beneath the sheet is the body of Marianne Stevens, a tourist returning from breakfast with her husband, shot to death outside her motel room. A 15-year-old black boy walking near the crime scene is charged with murder. It might sound straightforward enough, but the case unravels inside a Florida courtroom. Murder on a Sunday Morning, directed by Jean-Xavier de Lestrade and produced by Denis Poncet, began as a documentary examining the American criminal justice system. It ended up one of the 5 nominees for an Academy Award. It's also the 3rd in our series of discussions with Oscar-nominated documentary filmmakers. Jean-Xavier and Denis join me from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles. Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
Now tell me, why were you interested in the first place in a story about an American murder?
Well,
To
be honest with you, we were not looking for a murder when we came to Jacksonville. We were actually, had been tempted for many years to do a story about a law firm, like trying to do an LA law type of film as a documentary. And we realized as we came to Jacksonville that it would take us more than a year. And one day somebody told us, why don't you go and check what's going on in the public defender's office in Jacksonville? They're one of the best. We walked in that courtroom that morning, and we knew nothing about the public defender's system. And there in this courtroom, there was a pre-trial hearing of Brenton Butler with his lawyers, and among them Patrick McGinnis. And we saw that little 15-year-old kid, you know, and being handcuffed and in his orange clothes from the prison. And Pat McGinnis came to us and told us about the story. And then a few minutes later, we met with the parents outside the courtroom, and we decided, I told Jean, this is the story. We'll follow this story.
Yes, Patrick McGinnis is this no-nonsense, all-business public defender. He seems very devoted and very diligent, and his associate is Anne Fennell. And the two of them really become the main characters in this story. And he discovers that this confession has been gotten out of Brenton Butler with using nefarious means. Basically, he was beat up. And that's how he was so scared that he just signed anything. And so McGinnis is determined to prove this by questioning different prosecution witnesses on the stand. And he talks about his strategy for questioning the detective Glover, who was the one who beat up Brenton Butler. So let's listen to a clip from the film where he does this.
I never referred to Glover as Detective Glover. He didn't do any detective work in this case. And it bothers the witness when he's not called by the title he thinks he should have. And my purpose when I'm trying to show someone is lying is to make them uncomfortable, to make them off guard. Sometimes I like it when they fight me, because when they do, I believe I'm going to win.
The defense attorneys found out that the police had done shoddy detective work. They hadn't found a gun. They hadn't found the money that was stolen from the woman. They coerced a confession out of him. They beat him up. You must be aware that there are so many of these courtroom drama shows in the U.S. now. There's a whole channel, in fact, devoted to courtroom proceedings. Were you aware of that when you were shooting this film? Did that enter into how you decided to tell the story?
Yes, of course.
We had to find again a way to tell the story in a different way. You used to see it. I wanted to have absolutely 2 cameras inside the courtroom, which is not allowed in Florida, and we spent hours day after day with the judge to allow us to have 2 cameras inside the courtroom. We could show the courtroom as a real drama, and to edit it with tension, so you can see it like a fiction.
You're also in the position as if you were a juror during the film. You know, one of the juror, and you look. You had a lot of screenings lately of the film, and a lot of people felt that they were jurors, and they felt, you know, the emotion flowing. And what is going to be the decision? They don't know as they're watching the film what's going to happen. I just want to add one thing that is funny. A few times the last few weeks, people have come to us after watching the film saying, it's a very, very good film. What's the name of the actors? So I think this is, for us, that was a win.
Now, have your opinions, Denis and Jean, did your opinions change during the course of making this film? Did you think a certain way about any of the major players, and then did those opinions change?
When we went into this film, let's be honest about it, we didn't know whether Brenton Butler was guilty or not guilty. Mm-hmm. We had no idea. But I'm amazed by the way things happen, in the sense that I was amazed by the justice system in general. I mean, how can he be in court charged with murder with so little to go on, you know? And that's a very frightening thought.
I contacted the state attorney, which is something I generally don't do that early in a case. And I gave the state my photographs, and I told him what I believed we could prove. And it didn't matter, because they were politically in a position where they felt they had to prosecute to defend the honor of these detectives. And everything that has happened since then, I believe, has been an effort to defend the honor of these detectives, who I do not find to be honorable men.
It's profiling. I mean, let's use the word.
Racial
profiling. This little kid happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And unfortunately, it happened in Jacksonville, but it happens all over the place in this country and, unfortunately, in my country, in France also.
What are your impressions of race relations in the U.S.?
We are shocked, as I would say, citizen of the world, by what's going on in the United States. But it's not only happening in the United States. It's happening in France. It's happening in England. It's happening in Italy. It's happening in Germany with the Turks. I mean, this is racial profiling. And it's, I think, because of exterior things that are happening today, that people tend to forget what's going on inside our borders. And we must keep on doing films and explaining to people that, unfortunately, a tremendous amount of people are not having the same type of life that everybody should have in democracies like ours.
Now that you've finished this film, what do you think of the American justice system?
I think the film, one of the main questions of the film, that the film raised, is in which system are we? Is it a system in which you are guilty until proven innocent, or a system in which you are innocent until proven guilty? And I think the answer to that question can unfortunately depend on the color of your skin.
The judge in the film says this is the best system in the world. By looking at the film, you have to admit, you know, after all, this kid, something happens that enables us to say that justice is justice for all in this film. It's not often the case, as you probably know. So is the system good? I think if you have a good lawyer, the system is good. Unfortunately, you don't always have a good lawyer. If you don't have money, then you only pray to have a good public defender. But I have to admit, I'm quite impressed by the public defender system. I think this country should invest even more pour money into this, because I think it's very important that indigenous people should have, you know, the same justice as anybody else.
Denis Poncet and Jean-Xavier de l'Estrade directed and produced the Oscar-nominated documentary Murder on a Sunday Morning. It airs on HBO on March 31st. Thank you, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
Thank you.